You're listening to Panel Borders, a podcast of comic book interviews first broadcast on Resonance 104.4 FM in London. I'm Alex Fitch, and this is the second of a pair of interviews about Latin American comic book creators. In a crossover between the South Bank Centre's Brazil season of events and the London Literature Festival, a pair of twins from Sao Paulo, who are Brazil's most successful comic book creators, are giving a talk on July the 5th at the Purple Udderbelly venue by the river, which is followed by a live drawing session on the 9th of July. So I'm talking to Fabio Moon and Gabriel Barr, Brazil's most famous comic book creators, who found critical acclaim in the United States for illustrating such projects as the surreal superhero comic The Umbrella Academy, which is written by Gerard Way from My Chemical Romance, and also the terrific pop art spy serial Casanova, which is about to be reprinted by Marvel Comics. The first of the pair of twins that I'm talking to is Fabio, and then Gabriel joins us 5 minutes into the interview. First, though, here's a word from our sponsors, who need your donations to keep podcasts like this one alive.
Resonance FM is London's only non-profit community radio art station, who need your donations to help keep the station and podcasts on air. All the program makers and all the engineers all work for free to bring you shows as diverse as The Bike Show, The Free University of the Airways, Hooting Yard, Resonance FM accepts donations in the form of cheques, credit and debit cards, bank transfers, PayPal and cash. Go to www.resonancefm.com for more details. We also accept hobnobs and teabags. Your donation means our continued existence.
So you and your brother are visiting London as part of the Brazil Literature Festival. How did that invitation come about?
Well, I don't know, they called us and they invited us and we said yes, because it was a great idea. They wanted someone who represented the Brazilian culture and comic book movement, and I think we are on the top list. I don't know, that's it.
I mean, I guess you probably are the most famous Brazilian comic book creators outside of your own country. If you were to try and describe the Brazilian comic scene to an outside observer, how do you think it compares to comics that you find in the rest of the world?
Well, I think we are the most famous, recognizable authors that work on the English language. Because the biggest name of comics in Brazil still is a guy called Maurício de Souza, but he does kids' comics. But his comics went to Portugal and to Greece and to Japan and to Spain. So there are like a lot of countries that he's huge. But I don't know why he didn't venture into comics in English. And we did. And I don't know. And I think it suits the type of story that we tell better.
The kind of genres that you find in Brazilian comics, is it the same as you might expect elsewhere, the fact that there are horror comics, humor comics, children's comics, and so on?
There was all this kind of comics, all these genres. But then the Brazilian market shrunk in the 90s, and mainly what survived besides Maurício and his kid comics were alternative independent comics. So that's what survived and what looks like the Brazilian market right now. It's independent artists doing their own stuff, and after their comics are ready, they either propose to a publisher or they publish themselves. So it reflects on the kind of stories that they want to tell. It's more personal, it's more urban, it's more, I don't know, real, it's not so fantastic.
The comics that you two do, were they always intended to be aimed at the American market, or before your anthologies 5 and Details, had you done work that was only sold in Brazil?
Yeah, we did a lot of comics before we really started to work on the American market. We have 10 books published here in Brazil, but they're kind of similar to the stuff that we publish in the U.S. that we also wrote, like Details and Day Tripper, that follows like the same kind of stories that we want to tell. And I think we published them here for a longer time because it was easier for us because we did it ourselves. We self-published or we went to a publisher with smaller publishers, smaller print runs, so the creator has more freedom. And then it took us a while to convince publishers and the public in the American market that was also an interesting kind of stories. And I think for us that we were trying to find different markets for our stories. We found in the independent scene in American comics a more similar approach to comics than, for example, if we were to search for work on the French market, because we always saw the French comics more as colorful, fantastic, crazy stories that didn't really have much to do with what we were trying to do when we like looking for where to work.
What was it about American comics that attracted you in particular? Because the kind of work that you have done, for example, for Image, for Dark Horse, has been very varied. You did the spy story Casanova, you did the horror anthology Pixu, Day Tripper might be described as sort of magical realism. Was it just the fact that the market was open to pretty much any type of comic that you wanted to do?
Well, we think that the American market is growing in variety, I think. It always had publications from all over the world, but now I think all the different stuff from mainstream superheroes are getting more attention, and publishers like Vertigo, they are looking into different flavors in stories and in authors. So it took us a while. So we did several projects like Details. But then we did Casanova and Umbrella Academy, which were more mainstream, but still on the alternative side of the mainstream. But now I think they're looking at different projects, different kinds of stories and artworks with new eyes. But yeah, it's a good moment for artists like ourselves, and European artists are all over mainstream comics. And so, I don't know. It's a evolution of the American market, I think.
The titles that you did in America, obviously the most famous probably is the Umbrella Academy. How did you first get involved in that project? Did Gerald Way suggest you guys as the artists, or did the publishers come to you and say, this is this project that's going ahead and we think that you'd be ideal for it?
Yeah, it's like a little bit of both.
Okay.
I was working on Casanova. Now it's Gabriel talking.
So. Okay, hello.
I was working on Casanova, and then Scott, the editor, had shown Details to Gerard. But on Details, we have very, you know, low-key stories, urban, real-life moments. So it was not enough to show that I could draw, like, crazy, surreal stories. But Casanova was crazy enough. So, and then Fabio and I did one story for an anthology called 24/7, which all stories with robots. And then they saw that story on that anthology, and after that they came looking for me. Yeah, Scott sent me an email telling we have this project, we think you'd be good for it, and that's how I got involved with Umbrella Academy.
With some of the projects that you two have worked on, it's been a case that you've done a few issues and then your brother's taken over, for example, with Casanova, with the different chapters in Pixu. And then with other comics, you've worked on them together. So how do you divide the work up between you?
Well, we try to... It depends on the project. When we are writing and drawing, we like to come up with the story and write together. And then we can divide the drawing if we need, like, different styles. But if we don't, we just choose somebody to work on it. That's how we worked on Details, and that's how we were working on Day Tripper. We write the story together, and then Fabio, I draw, to so back and draw other stuff. On Pixu, we had different chapters, and each one you create a character and you are responsible for the artwork for that character. But the story we had to kind of create together so the chapters would work as a puzzle together. On Casanova, Matt and Image, they came after me for artwork, but after we read the first script, we decided that Ba's style was better. Okay. And he said, no, you should work with Ba on this. And then I was right, and the comic book looked awesome. But then Ba went to work on Umbrella, and we would either stop Casanova or look for another artist. And that's why I decided to draw the second arc, because if they were going to look for another artist, there was this chance that the artist was going to be bad and the comic would suck with bad art. So I had to take over so it wouldn't ruin the comic. And now that's the dynamic that we are established for the rest of the series when we start doing the new stuff. Ba is going to do the third arc, I'll do the fourth arc, Ba will do the fifth arc, and so on. And so each case it's a different reason, but it has to be a reason. It's not, oh, I'm late, can you draw this one? It has to have a reason that makes sense.
Sure. And I guess your art complements each other, because you must have, throughout your lives, shown each other work and then critiqued it and progressed in terms of comparing the styles that you were doing.
Yeah, we have a very similar background and world of references that help. They help make the work look similar. And also because we work on the same space, on one in front of the other, we can very easily and fast criticize the work of the other when something's not good enough or could be better, do that panel again, that page doesn't work well. So that makes everything go, I don't know, in a better way. We know that the end result of each page and each story is the best that we can do.
Mm. And then when it came to a project like Pichu, how did Becky Cloonan and Vasilis get involved?
Well, we know Becky for 7 years now. We met her in San Diego at a convention. And then the next year we met Vasilis. Then every year we used to meet in San Diego, and we all respect each other's work. Mm. And we saw this little comic that they did together called Neboli that made us want to work with them. Yeah, work with them, do something with them. And then we did five. Mm. But five, you know, in order to reach a wider audience, we did five without any words. It was a silent comic, so we could tell in Brazil, in Greece, in the U.S. But after we did five, we wanted to do something again. This time we wanted to do something bigger and different. And we wanted to have words.
Yeah, we wanted a challenge for all of us. Mm-hmm. And we thought that a horror comic would be a challenge both for us to write and for us to draw. It's very good creatively to draw a horror comic, because it can make use of the black and the ink and the mood. And it makes very good use of all these things that we can do in comics.
Mm. Well, and also the way that evil is sort of represented by a chaotic ink splatter, it seems very much that you're using the language, the medium of comics, very effectively in the horror genre.
Yeah. Well, we all agreed that we didn't want that kind of horror that shows the monster. Mm-hmm. So we try to do something that we never show the monster, or we never explain the story. We all like the same kinds of horror that it's not really resolved and it's more psychological than gory.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, you know, and we had a chance to be more expressive in the art.
Yeah,
the ink splatter and the very heavy use of blacks, all that, it's freeing for the artist to be more expressive in the story, to have a reason to free his style a little bit.
Mm. And also, I think it's great the way that you juxtapose traditional horror ideas like voodoo with very human horrors of sort of abuse and child abuse.
Yeah, I think that's one of the good things that we were four different artists, so each one brought
a different kind of horror into the story.
And now your spy comic that you did with Matt Fraction, Casanova, which was originally printed by Image, is being reprinted again by Marvel, and presumably you're going to continue when you get to the point where the Image series left off. What made the decision that you should start from the beginning again? Did you want to remaster the art, or did you think that perhaps the Image version wasn't appreciated by a large enough audience?
No, I think it was more like we wanted to get the chance of reading Casanova to a wider audience, I think. So it was not only about changing the publisher or our publishing scheme, you know, but also to get into more hands. Mm-hmm. So I think that's why we decided to start from the beginning. It wouldn't make too much sense to start from where we left if no one else could find the first two arcs. The whole idea is to continue the story, but there's no point if we can't, you know, show what we've done so far to the people. Mm. So.
And it must be nice in a way that the plot reflects a character whose identity is constantly shifting and who is sort of open to outside influences. And therefore, when the two of you swap art from one arc to the next, that almost complements the storytelling in a way, because when there's a shift in the sort of story that you're reading, there's also a shift in the artwork, but the artwork also has a continuity to it.
Yeah, that was something that we didn't know up front, but I think it worked. And the fact that Casanova himself is shown like in disguise as his sister for the whole second arc, which is you know, kind of strange, but
yeah,
it worked.
I think that having twins on the series makes easier to make sense out of having twins as the artists.
Mm. And the Marvel version is going to be in full color? Because I mean, I've got the Image, the first hardback that they produced, and it's in black, white, and the mid-tone is a nice green color. And I really like the art like that. So did you find it difficult to introduce this new element of color to the art that you'd already produced?
Well, we really liked the two, three color scheme that we had, but it was not as commercial as the publisher would like. So I don't know if that was one reason why the book didn't sell that much.
Yeah, I think now we have a bigger structure to do Casanova. When we started doing Casanova, it was going to be all ourselves.
Mm.
And we couldn't color the comic. So, and we didn't want it to do a full black and white comic at that time. So we had that one color, because we knew we could draw and do that one color ourselves.
And it would look different and cool.
Yeah, and it would look unique.
Mm.
Now, after Casanova, we work on so many comics in color that we know more people, we know more what works in color in our style, and we came to trust people a little more, because before we didn't trust anyone else to touch our artwork. And now we do. Now we worked on Umbrella, on Day Tripper, on DPRD, on Sugar Shock, all that was in color. So now we had a...
Of course, that's all Dave Stewart.
Yeah.
So you don't have to worry about the color.
Uh-huh.
Casanova is a girl who we know from here in Brazil, so we can have a closer contact with her and, you know, ask for changes and stuff. I think it's working. It still has a unique look.
Mm-hmm.
And we almost forget it was a two-color book.
Yeah.
Sure.
Really getting it's very easy to get used to the new color version. Yeah.
And thinking about color, obviously the way that color and the way that comic book art looks on the page is very different to the way that it looks on a computer screen. And some of your work has been serialized as digital comics. Obviously, Sugar Shock was on the Dark Horse website, and now the Umbrella Academy is available as a download as well for iPhones and iPads. How do you feel about the purely digital way of distributing comics?
Well,
I think the main advantage of digital comics is the price. But so you can, you know, get it in more people's hands. But we are really we're kind of old fashioned. Not kind of, we're really old fashioned. We like the, you know, real comics, we like the turning of the page, we like to hold the comics and the books in our hands. We still do all the artwork by hand. I don't know, I think it's too soon to point to one direction or not. Maybe we'll see a new kind of breed of comics coming out of this.
Yeah.
You know, let the old folks like us do regular comics by hand in paper. But I don't know. We focus much more on the content than into the packaging. And I think the whole digital media thing is still too much about packaging and too little about content. So we try to focus on the content, on what we were telling, and that's our main focus.
Sure. I mean, I have to admit that I agree with you that I didn't read Sugar Shock when it was online. I waited until it was reprinted as a paper comic. But presumably, when it was serialized online, the art was designed to be horizontal as opposed to vertical format. Or did you not worry about those sort of issues and waited for the designers of the comic to sort out the differences in formatting?
Yeah, we didn't worry. We knew it was going to be online, but we knew we would work as if we were working on a print comic. So the size of the artwork is the same, the format is the same, and it's a reflection of how web comics work right now. There are some people who think differently. It works best for the monitor, but then it doesn't work so good when it's in print. And then there are others who work to look good in print, and then you still have to scroll every page to see the entire page when you're looking on the screen, because it was supposed to be in print. We did it as we always did, like same paper, same size, and let the internet people figure out how it's going to work on the web.
So in terms of the comics you're doing right now, obviously Day Tripper is going to continue for a few more months, and there's the remastering of Casanova. What other projects have we got to look forward to from you guys coming up?
No. Right now I think that's it.
And then
we're going to retire and move back into the forest and live with our monkeys. We start to work on the third arc of Casanova. That, you know, only coming out next year, but we are going to start right now. And that's pretty much it. Yeah, that's what we have, like, a release date. Yeah. We know that the third arc of Casanova, which is new stuff, is coming out, so we start to work on that on the second semester. And then there's more Umbrella coming.
Of course.
But we don't, time yet, we but don't know when, because Gerard's still finishing the record. And, yeah, for the last 2 years, we worked on several works at several titles at the same time, and that was really exhausting. So we're trying to work on one book at a time, you know. So that's why we didn't get anything new before we finished Day Tripper. So we got like invitations and other projects, but we didn't want to start anything while we're still working on Day Tripper.
Yeah.
So we're trying to close the loose end to start new stuff. Yeah, we have like sometimes we'll accept short story requests or invites. We are doing the new short story for that Liberty Comics that they publish to get money for the CDLDF. We're doing a new story for them, but that's it, and then Casanova, and then mystery.
Well, I suppose if you were still working on three or four titles at the same time, you wouldn't have a space in your schedule to come to England. So I guess we should be glad that you've got the time to do that.
Yeah, that's all the traveling that we're doing this year. It's all because we're not working on several titles. Mm. So
cool. Thank you very much for taking the time to talk to me.
No problem.
Gabriel Barr and Fabio Moon will be talking about their work as part of both the South Bank Centre's Brazil Festival and the London Literature Festival at the E4 Udderbelly near the London Eye, in an event hosted by British comic book creator Jamie McKelvey on July the 5th. And then on July the 9th, they'll be involved in a live drawing exhibition at the South Bank Centre. More info at www.southbankcentre.co.uk. For more info about the artists mentioned in this show, please visit our blog www.panelborders.wordpress.com. That was the last in the current series of Panel Borders, but there'll be a new series starting in September, both on air on Resonance FM in London and online. And that'll include interviews with Daniel Close, Chris Ware, Becky Cloonan, and many more. In the meantime, if you've missed any of the previous instalments of the podcast, there are 180 episodes available for download from www.panelborders.wordpress.com, including interviews with Alan Moore, Neil Gaiman, Art Spiegelman, Philip Pullman, Josie Long, Gerald Scarfe, and many, many more. Thanks for listening.